The last song we sang together as a group was Have Faith in God. And Eliza E. Hewitt goes on in this song to show God's faithfulness. And is thereby saying, have faith in God, because God is faithful. And ultimately, at the very bottom of it, that is the very truth that our faith is founded on. But I'm going to talk this morning about a request that the apostles made to the Lord when they said, increase our faith. And when we look at it from that angle, the context of that passage, it actually ties in this other song where we have, I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? And when we sing this song, it makes us feel our smallness. Before a Savior, our Lord who gave everything to us and we have nothing to give back. And we'll see by the time we're done how this plays in to faith. But I would like to start with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We can all be here. We thank you for your word. And again, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can place our faith and our trust in you with complete and absolute confidence. And I just pray that you would help me this morning as I endeavor to open up your word. Amen. A French chef who was born in 1897 and lived until 1955 said, If the divine creator has taken pains to give us delicious and exquisite things to eat, the least we can do is prepare them well and serve them with ceremony. And I heard that and I thought about it and I was like, that's really profound, but I want to take it further. God has given us in His Word all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the least I can do as a minister of the gospel is preach those truths in the most presentable manner possible. And today, that's what I'm going to endeavor to do. Endeavor to present to you this request of the apostles. In Luke 17:5, we read, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So when I think of faith, I remember when I was 15 and the young people were trying to raise money for publishing. We set goals for how much money we were going to raise in a certain amount of time. Then we would often raise a hearty amount, but rarely reach our goal. And I remember clear as yesterday, thinking and praying while I was sanding the floor in my dad's study. I was trying to figure out, why does God not answer our prayers? We have prayed over and over for a certain sum of money and never got it. Is something wrong with the way we're praying? Are we lacking in faith? Do we need to pray more fervently? Do we need to pray with tears? What do we need to do? Then a thought hit me, and I believe it was from God. It went like this. The reason we are not getting our prayers answered is because we are setting a goal that is within our reach, and then we are trying to convince God to help us reach it. We're trying to get God to help us do our thing. If we set a goal that is impossible for us to reach, then God, in answering it, would receive all of the glory. And this hit me like, wow. So I stopped. And I prayed silently. And I prayed God for $10,000 to be raised in the month of March. And after restlessly waiting all month long, April finally comes. And the first time I saw Timothy, I asked him, I said, Timothy, how much money was raised in the month of March? And that's when I heard his side of the story. Timothy had just recently quit working construction and had started working full-time at the store. But that month, his old boss had gotten a big contract and convinced Timothy to work 1 month for him. And worked a crazy hard long month and was paid $10,000. And of course, whenever you work a job and you get paid, you have plans for the money. But Timothy said to Nikki, I just feel like God is asking me to put this money towards printing. So he did. And $10,000 was raised in the month of March. That was the first time God exercised me to take a step of faith on my own. And it was a big step. It was an amazing answer to prayer. But it took much less faith than many other things a Christian has to face every day of their life. Jesus said that faith as a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. It's not great faith that does great things. It's little faith in a great God. I'm going to repeat that because that phrase is important. It's not great faith that does great things. It's little faith in a great God. But God still wants to increase your faith, and most likely you do too. It's a good practice to pray the prayer that the disciples prayed when they said, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And if you're anything like me, when you hear this verse, you pray, Lord, increase my faith. God, give me the faith to do some great work for you. You hear of George Mueller, who didn't just pray for money once and get it, but on a regular basis. He had answers to prayer much more remarkable than I ever have. And then you want to pray, Lord, increase my faith. And that's good. You should. Maybe you read the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then you want to pray, Lord, increase my faith. And that's also good. But I move on. Jesus said also, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I heard the story of a steam packet that was crossing a stormy bay when the engine suddenly stopped. And for a few minutes, the situation was one of real peril. And an old lady rushed up to the captain, and she asked anxiously, is there any danger? Madam, was the uncompromising reply, we must trust God. Oh, sir, wailed the inquirer, has it come to that? Many people are willing to trust in anything except God. They can always see the coming storms, but cannot trust the goodness that sends them. Maybe you just simply struggle with worrying too much, and you know it's a lack of faith. So you pray, Lord, increase my faith. And this is all good. But The request for more faith is not found in the context of any of these commands. Jesus said many hard things, and the disciples didn't ask for more faith. But one of Jesus' commands opened up their eyes to see that they needed more faith. And I want to draw your attention to that command. So why don't you open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that one should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day return again to thee, saying, Repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? It will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Trow just means say or think. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It often takes more faith to forgive your neighbor than it does to obey just about any other command. It takes more faith to forgive someone who has wronged you than it does to get an amazing answer to prayer. It took more faith for Stephen, I believe, to forgive his persecutors than for Peter to walk on water. So to recap a little, there are thousands of areas where you might need more faith. From getting your prayers answered, to fulfilling the Great Commission, and all the way down to walking the Christian life today and tomorrow. The apostles were not stupid. They knew the kind of forgiveness Jesus was talking about, and they knew they did not have it in them to do it. I think the apostles understood that Jesus' instruction on forgiveness indicated a whole lifestyle that was entirely out of their reach, without help. In the early days of the immigration to the West, a traveler once came for the first time in his life to the banks of the Mississippi. There was no bridge. He must cross. It was early winter, and the surface of the river was sheeted with gleaming ice. He knew nothing of its thickness, however, and he feared to trust himself. I'm losing my spot in my notes. And he feared to trust himself to it. He hesitated, but night was coming on and he must reach the other shore. So finally, at length, through many fears, he gets on his hands and knees and he starts to crawl. He crawls so carefully, trembling with every sound. When he'd gone about halfway over the river, he hears the sound of whistling behind him. So he turns and looks, and here's a colored man coming with a 4-horse team of coal, trotting across the river, singing as he goes. Many a Christian creeps tremblingly out on God's promises when another stronger in faith goes singing through life, upheld by the same word. It was the subject of forgiveness that brought the disciples to the place where they asked for more faith. For you, it might be something completely different. But whatever your personal weakness is, I'm sure you can relate to this man. realizing you need more faith. Somewhere in your Christian life, you're on your hands and knees crawling, where you should be trotting along singing. But praise be to God, we're not left here alone. Jesus gave us some instructions to follow. This far has been my introduction. I wanted to spark a desire for more faith. And I want to turn to Jesus' instruction on how to attain more faith. We're all very familiar with the verse in Romans 10:17, where we're told that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I believe the parable that Jesus gave just after the disciples asked for more faith was his answer to their request. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." And in Luke 17, Jesus gives the apostles an exercise. If you go to a fitness specialist and say, "I want to be strong," you're going to be given some weights to lift. Now that doesn't sound like fun. What? This thing's heavy. You want me? I don't want to lift this once, and you want me to lift it 50 times a day? Yes, that's the price of getting stronger. And when the disciples ask Jesus for more faith, Jesus, first, of course, he tells them, it's not great faith that does great things. He said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. It's not great faith that does great things. It's little faith in a great God. But then he goes on to answer the request. And he gives one of the most unexpected parables. And he gives them an exercise. We read the next verse in verse 7. "But which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which were commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." So here we come to the exercise. The exercise is simply something Jesus told us to say. In today's world, Jesus' words are not very well liked. We have thousands of psychologists preaching affirmations. Wikipedia tells us that in New Age thought and New Age terminology, affirmations refers primarily to the practice of positive thinking and self-empowerment, fostering a belief that a positive mental attitude supported by affirmations will achieve success in anything. More specifically, an affirmation is a carefully formulated statement that should be repeated to oneself and written down frequently. For an affirmation to be effective, it needs to be present tense, positive, personal, and specific. They recommend, not Wikipedia, but psychologists recommend you say things like, "I am healthy and happy. I am getting wealthier every day. My body is healthy and functioning in a very good way. I have a lot of energy. I am calm and relaxed in every situation. My thoughts are under my control. I radiate love and happiness. I am living in the house of my dreams. I have a wonderful and satisfying job. I am successful in whatever I do. Everything is getting better every day." Now I want you to contrast that with what Jesus told the apostles to say. "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things were commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Away with the affirmations. If you want more faith, look in the mirror and say, "I am an unprofitable servant." Not just when you fail and feel worthless, but when you've had that perfect dream day, say, "I am an unprofitable servant. I've done that which was my duty to do." Not just when you let your best friend down and feel like the worst person on earth, but when all your friends love you, practice saying, "I am an unprofitable servant." When you get up Sunday morning and you look over your week and you realize you didn't get mad once all week and you put on your Sunday clothes feeling good about yourself, oh, careful now. That's a faith killer. Practice saying, I am an unprofitable servant. Brandon preaches this really well. If you were to take the sum of most all of Brandon's sermons he has preached since he started preaching and act upon it, it would be very similar to what Jesus has commanded you to do. Brandon told us 5 weeks ago, he said, don't let the fact that you're feeling down right now discourage you from faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the people in this room right now that are failing as we speak. Those are the ones that are open to and fertile for the gospel message. Because the first thing we need to do to get saved is to find that we are weak, that we are without strength. As long as you are sitting there saying, I have strength. I have the strength to overcome the jealousy in my life. I have the strength to overcome the bitterness in my life. I have the strength to overcome the anger in my life. You're a million miles away from the gospel message. Whether you think you're a strong person or not, the Bible says you're not. When are you going to come to grips with the fact that you can't do it? How many weeks and months are you going to fight and fail before it starts getting real to you that you can't do it? You're believing a lie every time you fight. I can do this. It's a lie. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Brandon told us just last week, if you don't understand the sin problem, you're not going to appreciate the propitiation solution of Jesus Christ. And I've learned from experience that you have to feel rotten. You have to feel defeated and broken. You have to feel at the end of the rope before what Jesus Christ has done for you actually makes sense. Before Jesus Christ can transform your life. If you are dead in sin, that makes you are so sinful you can't accomplish holiness. Dead in sin means you can't be good. All right. So I started out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Ezra, does what you're saying, Jesus told us to do in Luke 17, does that conflict with what Paul told us about getting faith in Romans? It's a good question. I wanted you to ask. But if you open your eyes and take a look at this with me, you'll find that there's no conflict at all. The Bible carries two main messages. The sinfulness of man and the holiness of God. In every passage of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you can find either the depravity of man or the goodness, love, and holiness of God. I once had a conversation with a young man who took a verse way out of context. And I said, that's out of context. You can't use that verse that way. He tried to defend himself by saying, hey, take a look at the way the apostles used Old Testament verses in the New Testament. And look at how in context they were. And I had to admit that the verse he used wasn't, I should say, on the surface, wasn't any more out of context than the way the apostles used the Old Testament. But I retorted, yes. But they used all those verses in the about Christ. You have applied this verse to yourself. And Christ is the context of the entire Bible. You had to admit I was right. Christ is the context of the entire Bible. And there's only one other subject that I could say is the context of all of Scripture, and that is the depravity of man. Those two things are the predominant themes of all of Scripture. The depravity of man and the holiness of God. If you could condense the whole Bible down to one sentence, I think it would say something to the effect of man is a worthless sinner. And God is perfectly holy. So, faith comes by hearing the word of God? Yes, yes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But what is the message of the Bible? Half of the message of the Bible is, you are a filthy sinner. So actually what Paul is saying in Romans is very similar to what Jesus told us to do. Faith comes by the Word of God, and a worthy portion of the Word is dedicated to expressing the unworthiness of man. Jesus said, if you want to increase your faith, practice saying, I am an unprofitable servant. You heard that you were a sinner and needed a Savior. You felt it. You believed on Jesus. Now you are saved by grace. But Jesus says, if you want to increase your faith, exercise yourself to say, I am an unprofitable servant. You heard that, when the Spirit came upon you and made you feel like dirt in the presence of God Almighty, you believed you were a sinner. You surrendered and got saved. Now if you want to increase your faith, practice believing you are still unprofitable, even when you're a smashing success. Work on believing the concept that no matter how good of a saint you are become, you will never be good enough. You are still an unprofitable servant. Focus your eyes on how much God gave to your soul, gave to save your soul. And then with that in mind, look back at what meager things you can give to Him. If I could live 1,000 lives and spend every moment of them living for Him, it would not pay Him back for what He has given for me. I am an unprofitable servant. Practice saying, I am an unprofitable servant, not only when you have failed, but when you have done everything your master has asked you to do. When you have conquered every sin entirely and preached the gospel to every person perfectly, you still must learn to say, I am an unprofitable servant. Why so down on yourself? Why is the road to faith so hard? Why is this exercise so difficult? The bottom line brings us right down to what I talked about recently. What faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The very foundation of faith is simply believing the facts. The reason Jesus tells us to say, I am an unprofitable servant, as an exercise for increasing faith, is because it's true. Brandon just told us a couple weeks ago that the depravity of man is the most obvious thing in the universe, yet is the most denied thing on earth. The reason Jesus tells us to say, I'm an unprofitable servant, is because it brings us in touch with reality. To think anything else of yourself isn't true. We humans have this tendency to think so highly of ourselves. But there is nothing that kills faith in God quite as fast as faith in self. Faith and humility are always coupled together. When you find the one, you find the other. When one increases, the other increases. When one decreases, the other decreases. Jesus' prescribed path to great faith is the path of painful humility. When we have come to grips with just how sinful we are and just how great of a price has been paid for us, when we actually get to the place where we understand and can say from our heart, not only from our head, I am an unprofitable servant. How many of us feel deep inside that our feeling is, if I could only conquer all of my sin, if I could only preach the gospel to everybody perfectly, then I could feel good about myself. Then I could be that success. Then I would be paying God back for what He's done. No, no. That's pride. You're an unprofitable servant. If you want to increase your faith, we can follow this path that Jesus has prescribed. And we can practice saying, I am an unprofitable servant. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? It is the epitome of arrogancy to think that it's possible for us to pay God something back. We must come to grips with the fact that at our very, very best, when we have done and completed every command Christ told us to complete, when we have done it perfectly to the T, we're still unprofitable. And we need to practice saying that as Jesus told us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for loving us even when we're so entirely worthless and unprofitable. In human realms, we do everything for profit, especially if we were to purchase a servant, and we don't understand why you would purchase us as your servants even when it was unprofitable for you. But Father, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for doing this. And we pray that you would help us just to come to grips with this truth. And we pray that you would increase our faith. Amen.